Blog Talk Radio.
Amen.
This is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we are here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m., and we do thank you for tuning in. For those of you who are tuning in by internet, we are an interactive Bible study, amen. So if you would like to participate, you can call in to 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you call in, you can be connected. If you have a question or whatever that you have on your heart for the speaker, amen. We'd also like to let you know that there is an archive, okay? So if there's someone that you would like to hear the message, and we hope that you do, because this is the Word of God, you can go to the archives. And when you go to the archives, you would go to Blog Talk Radio, and then the URL is We Can Begin Again. We Can Begin Again. Type that in, and you can be connected to any one of the speakers that we have had on over the last few years. Amen. And we are sure that it would be a blessing to whomever that you share it with. We are going to move forward. We're going to have prayer, and then we're going to move over. I'm excited to move over. We have Bishop Charles Storrs, amen, from a very well-known place that I'm familiar with, Princeton, West Virginia. And so we're excited to hear what God has placed on his heart. We're going to have prayer, and then we're going to move over. The next voice you will hear is Bishop Charles Storrs. Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that as your word is proclaimed, that it illuminates, Heavenly Father, that it opens up our mind, that we're able to see a better journey, that we're able to have a closer relationship with you. Father, we know, Heavenly Father, that you are God who is an unchanging God, a God who will never change, and we thank you, Heavenly Father, for never leaving us or forsaking us. We pray, Heavenly Father, for the speaker this evening, Heavenly Father, that you would anoint him, Heavenly Father, with words on high. Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for his time that he's sharing, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would bless him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. We pray for the sick and afflicted, Heavenly Father. There are Stuart Hawthorne, we have James, we have Diane, we have Deborah, we have Eulonia, we have Aletha, we have Cornell, we have Corey. Father, we have so many names on our list. And the thing we love about you is you know each and every name, even if we don't even speak it out. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would minister to their needs, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for hearing our prayers, and we thank you, Heavenly Father, for answering and ministering to them right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we just give all honor, we give all glory, all praise to you. We thank you. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to move on over into Princeton, West Virginia, and I am excited. I'm excited. Bishop Storrs, are you there?
Yes, sir. Amen. How you doing?
Amen. Praise
I'm
the
here.
Lord. Good to hear your voice. Thank you for taking the time to come on and proclaim the word and share it with the body of Christ. We do thank you for that.
Amen. Thank you.
We're
thank
going
you for
to move
invitation.
Out of the way, amen. And we're going to let God, okay. you just go ahead and just do what God has placed on your heart.
Okay, well, good evening, everyone. God bless you. Coming to you from Princeton, West Virginia. Excited to be on tonight. I'm just going to kind of just briefly share a little something with you. It's kind of been on my heart. I believe this is because I'm raising two children, and I'm dealing with the generation that we're dealing with. This older generation is dealing with this new generation, and so we have to begin to mentor this new generation and become an influence in this new generation. But I also think that we need to learn something from this generation that maybe previous generations have missed. And I have a son that this year will be 14 and a little girl that will be 12 this year. And so I have to learn the basis of their struggle in order for me to be able to communicate with them. And the Bible tells us in Matthew 10, to behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, but be wise as serpents, but be harmless as doves. And he also says in 2 Timothy that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so I'm becoming to be a father and pastor at the same time. And I come to you from the book of Luke. And instead of me just reading everything from the book of Luke, I'll let you read as I'm going through. I'm going to be beginning at 41 beginning at verse 41 through 55. And it talks about a particular individual, Jairus, that was a ruler of the synagogue and wanted to, he had an issue with this little girl, his child was sick, and which represented his future, his destiny, everything, his legacy, everything that was there was he was dealing with issues. And the name means enlightened or inspired or revelation. So he had a revelation or an enlightenment that he needed to have God to come to his house. And lots of times we're more concerned about coming into the house of God instead of bringing God into our house, to bring him into the presence of our house, to break bread with him on a daily basis. And Jairus knew that in order for me to be able to heal this generation or my future and maintain my legacy, I have to have Christ to come into our house. And I think many times we get lost in the idea of worship on Sunday and do whatever that we choose to do all through the week and not be mindful that God is moving in such a way that he will influence every aspect of our life. And so in the midst of Jesus beginning to move, a woman with an issue of blood comes to him, and his daughter is 12 years old, and this particular woman has been dealing with an issue for 12 years. And this issue has been going on for 12 years. The Bible says that she had spent all she had from many physicians and could not get well. So her movement was desperate. And I believe this time she's symbolical for me, as I look at it, as she's symbolic of the church, that there has to be a desperate move of the church. So we've done all of the programs. We've done all the things we could do, but there has to be a desperate movement of the church. Her mindset was to touch the hem of his garment, or the place where all the loose ends come together. And whether we believe it or not, we have issues in our own life and things that happen to us. The organization or the organism of the church is well intact, but I think the organization of the church sometimes is hemorrhaging. Different things have issues and different things evolve into the church, which causes problems. So Jesus begins to communicate and talk to this woman. She begins to move by coming in behind. And so that worship has to be intentional. She has an intentional worship. She moves in behind him. And as she comes in behind him, as his plan is to go with to the daughter, he comes in, he moves in behind her, and she touches him, and she becomes whole. And so she moves this way, and she's touching Christ, and she becomes whole. She becomes whole. He calls her by her covenant name, daughter, and he says, your faith has healed you. And she tries to hide, and she goes forth. She represents the church. So the church now, in a sense, the way God had revealed this to me, as dealing with the aspects of my children and how I have to be able to be an influential part of their lives, that she has to be healed first, because Jesus now doesn't go to the daughter. He stops in the midst of what he's doing to heal the church, to heal her first, because she's been dealing with the issue for 12 years while the little girl is 12 years and sick. Jesus has to heal her before he can go to the church. He has to heal the church, so to speak, before he can go to the little girl, simply because the church needs to be healed from all of the issues that causes her problems. Otherwise, we infect another generation with our religious mindsets, with our views on how we are supposed to serve, with denominational views and those things. Not saying that any of that's wrong, but sometimes we have to make sure that we don't take God out of everything. And so she's moving in this direction, and she's dealing with these type of things here. And so when Christ now starts to take the move forward, the people come from Jairus' home and they're telling him, hey, listen, she's sick. Don't trouble the master. Don't worry about that. She's dead now. It's over with. You've wasted too much time. And so Christ looks at him and tells him, don't even listen to what they speak. And so I'm knowing that in this time as a church, we're going to be maneuvering and moving in a lot of disappointments, maybe discouragements, lots of issues that's going to take place. Lots of people that's close to us might count things out or it's done. But when God gets involved in things, things are never done until he said so. And so Christ looks at him and says, no, don't listen to that. The first thing we have to do before we get to the place of your blessing, the place of resurrection, or the place of healing, is we have to change the language. The language has to change. Our language has to change. When we come into the place of worship, when we come here, we have to know that all things are possible. Christ can do all things, however desperate that things look, however difficult that it might be, however many faces of struggle that this generation or we deal with, God can do all things when he's in the midst, because all things are possible with Christ. Amen. And so he moves and he goes there. He goes to her. And as he's getting there, he gets all of the people out. He moves people out, but he only keeps it for only certain people that actually are there with Christ when he moves. He takes certain ones out of it. And I look back into Ephesians 4 when he gives some the prophets and some the pastors and some. So he has to take everybody out of there that has no significance to him, and he leaves just a few people there. He gives some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. So he calls Peter the apostle, John the prophet, and James the evangelist. And then he calls for the girl's father and the mother, who represents the pastor and the teacher. And so now Jesus is standing hand in hand with the fivefold ministry beside this individual. We're on the fivefold ministry, and he raises her up. And that we have to have the full gospel. We have to have all of Christ. We can't have just parts of him. But if we're going to heal this generation, if we're going to heal this generation, we're going to have all of it, not just the threefold, but the fivefold ministry. So all of us edify the body. It works, the body of Christ is edified. So he stands on the foundation of the fivefold ministry, which represents the hand of God, the move of God in this generation. And he's standing beside her, meaning that God stands beside this generation regardless of how bleak things look. Then they leave. The rest of them leave. And then Jesus tells the father, the pastor, and the mother, the teacher, to give her something to eat. He doesn't say anything other than give her meat. He says now the pastor and the teacher has to give this generation strong meat in order to survive. We cannot give them the watered-down version of the Bible. We cannot tell them that they can do whatever they want to, but we have to give them the strong meat, because there's going to be faces of influences, and the church has to be the influential face that guides this next generation to the place of destiny. And that's what I believe that God is doing for us in this area at this time. If anybody would like to interject at this moment.
You preaching, Doc. Come on with
me. Amen. And I look at it from the perspective of where we are in Mercer County, from the Appalachia HIDPA, which is the high intensity drug trafficking area. Mercer County is one of the highest counties in the state of West Virginia that has an increase in opioid use, increase in meth, increase in fentanyl is what they're moving into now. And the ranges are the 11% of those is from what this states. The 11% of this comes from the ages of 12 to 24. Now, this is not to say that that's the only problem, but those come into social issues, which causes depression and causes issues and causes the sickness of a generation. Titus tells us that the older generation are the older ones supposed to teach the younger ones. But if we're caught up in church, still doing church business and not doing what God wants us to do, the enemy is happy with what we're doing. Because if you think about it, the woman had an issue of blood for 12 years, and the little girl was 12 years old. She was dealing with it for 12 years at the age where she could not reproduce because of her hemorrhage. And she was the girl was at the age of 12 years old, the age of fruit bearing. The devil doesn't mind us coming to church and having our spiritual calisthenics and doing all the things he wants us to do. He doesn't want us to bear fruit. So as long as we're doing church and thinking that we have good programs and good this and good that, but not bearing fruit, then we're not a threat to him. But once we begin to bear fruit, that's when he begins to attack. And so I think that God is letting us know that the church now has to be the voice to make sure that we have to heal with Christ in our house in order for us to change this generation, to be an influential part of this generation, or a face or a figure that they can see to say that there is a God who is well able. They're learning now the theory of evolution and not in the beginning God created. And so we have to be able to be not so much caught up in ourselves, but make sure that we can reach out, the tentacles of faith, reach out into this next generation to heal them, or they will be a lost generation, unable to produce because they're dealing with the same sickness that the church is dealing with now.
Amen. Amen. Simon Barjona, I believe you that the flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. I believe you had a message from on high.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's a mighty message.
Mm. Amen. You know, I we praise God for that. I sit here and I think you know, I'm at home, I'm pastor, but I'm still father, daddy, you know, and my son Braylon and my little girl Jordan. So I have to be able to communicate with them. And so to be able to communicate with them, I have to be able to get involved in it. And I've learned, at least with me, that you never really get actively involved in something unless the thing that you love is either exalted or threatened. And so we exalt our children. Hey, look at them. Hey, great job. Or when they're threatened, hey, that's my child. And so I know that it's many faces, a plethora of issues that's taking place around them, that it will be a lot of influences as they're at the age of learning their identity. They need to be able to have comfort to know that the face of daddy, which represents the face of the church, is the place that they can come for healing more so than reaching out into this thing or reaching out into that thing. And so I think that that's what we have to do. And that's why I believe Jairus knew that and said, hey, listen, I have got to make sure that I bring Jesus to my house, because unless I bring him to my house, things can't change. And so he was persistent about being that. So our worship must be intentional. We must have the intentions of, I want God to infiltrate every aspect of my home, to change things and to be a part of it. Not, I don't use him, but I know that he's the only one that can do it. And then he will give me the wisdom and the knowledge to know how to be able to govern and produce and help this generation out, so that, that they don't keep secrets from daddy, so to speak, but they can talk to daddy and know that he represents, you know, everything about them. And I believe that that's what our Heavenly Father, daddy, does for us. We don't, there's nothing that is hidden from him, but we come to him
you
with
know,
everything. And so I think that that's how we do that.
Well, we love others, people that come against us, even when we treat them the way God treats us. Our God has treated us mercifully, with favor, going the extra mile. Well, as long as we treat others the same way he treats us, we're all right.
Amen.
You know, I think that, you know, going back and as I was looking and not cutting anybody off, I apologize if I did, but with the fivefold ministry, there's still a place for that function. And too often the church is we're dysfunctional because we're not allowing these ministries to play their role. If you really think about the clarion call or the prophetic call, times before we have dressed that role up and prostituted that role up to be nothing but the name it, claim it role, but it's a foretelling. It's to bring forth something. We have minimized the role of the teacher to teach us in order to know the how to govern and to rule and to and operate. And then a lot of times people really don't want a pastor. They want a preacher to preach to them on Sundays. They don't want to be pastors. And so God is allowing a time to be so. The struggle to be so severe that there has to be an intentional move, regardless of what anybody says. The woman, first of all, shouldn't have been there because she had the issue of blood. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to come to Jesus regardless. I don't care how it looks. I'm coming to him regardless because I know that can't nobody do me like Jesus can. And Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, said, hey, listen, it does not matter about prestige. I need this man in my house because my future, my legacy is going to die. And I believe that if we're going to move and flourish the way God wants us to do, the fivefold ministry has to operate the way God has allowed and so has designed it, and we have got to be willing and receptive to receive all that he asked for us.
Amen.
Amen. Anything I'd like to add? I'd like to share anything?
All mics are open.
Well, I would like to add that by the church, we gain fellowship and we learn from the lessons that are inspired and taught by the pastor, inspired by God at his house. But then we take this information and we disseminate this information, we take it in and disseminate it and put it into practice. So we gain fellowship and we're stronger. We're going to be faced with a lot of challenges. And how do we deal with that? You know, so we gain that exercise, strengthening, by virtue and fellowship by actually being there at the church, so that we're able to go out into the world where we're going to be challenged and do God's work.
Right, right. I think I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, issue of faith and follow through. How do you treat
right.
people? How do you deal
I
with situations? Sometimes we feel that I'm better than this person. I'm better educated. This person's not on the same level I am. But when you do that, you're not in a position to help that person, to uplift
right.
them.
Right. Right. I think one of the things that I find interesting, even in the scripture, the last verse of the scripture, the Bible says, and when after Jesus spoke to her with the function of the ministry, and after Jesus spoke to her, he said her spirit came back again and she arose, meaning that she had a form of godliness, but she did not have the power.
That's
and
good.
So, you know, and so the spirit comes. So whenever we're communicating, however educated, however that we might articulate or lack thereof, when the spirit gets involved, his words become to be the anointed words that change, and that's the seed that produces. Lots of times, God always told me one time before, he said, it's not up to you to make the change. It's up to me to make the change. It's up to you to be
mm-hmm.
obedient. When you be obedient, I'll make the change. And so I have to make sure that I stay obedient. And sometimes things that he tells us to do, you know, might sound foolish to us, you know, go around Jericho 7 times and shout and the walls come, you know, whatever it might be. But when we know that when the spirit comes, that's what happens. And I think lots of times churches or we're functioning and we're the body, and this is not a down on the body of Christ at all. I mean, this is to let us know, or let me be aware that we have to be really intentional and really begin to examine ourselves and look to see, okay, what is the reasoning as I'm doing this? Why am I doing this? Why am I flexing this way? The love of Christ compels me to. The Spirit has drawn me to this place, or this area. And I think that's the way that I have looked when I've examined this scripture with my children. I want not just to be a good dad and to provide, but I want to be able to be a teacher and a provider, that when I'm gone, that there's things that can resonate, but I know that I can't do that. But if I can steal the word of God in them, the Bible says, train them up in the way that you go, that when they get old, they shall not depart. So at some point in time, the Bible said, and her spirit returned, meaning that she had something that was lost. And maybe we have to make sure that this generation is not losing something, but we give it back by giving them nothing but the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
You know, tells us that it shall not return void. And that the 107:20, Psalms 107:20 tells us that he sent the word to heal them and to rescue them from destruction. He sent the word. He sent the word.
Right.
The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We got
right.
the power and authority of the word. And we have taken so much off the word, put on other things, not saying that the prayer line, the faith line, that whatever, but it's the word that shall not return void. It's the word that was sent to us. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You see?
Yes.
All right.
Bishop, I can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
You know what? I'm listening to you, and you know, one part when you said, you know, I'm not saying, trying to be polite to the body of Christ. You know, we as the body of Christ, we have gotten too passive, and being passive,
right.
we allow everything and anything to come in and woo us away from the Spirit of God. And you
yes.
know what?
Right,
when you
right.
said we have to be intentional, we have to go to the jugular vein and cut that enemy off by the neck. And doing so, we have to provide like God wants us to provide his image. The only God, the only Bible that the people who needs Christ is going to see is us. So we have to represent, and that's what you're doing in your home. You're representing,
yes,
and you're representing, right, and you're speaking to the language of your children, but yet giving them the language of God. So what happens with,
amen,
that is they become complete and whole. And
amen,
in fact, mm-hmm, when you're not around, you know, train up a child in the way, and he won't depart, because you've planted that seed, that word that grows. You know, and so many times,
yeah,
we in the body of Christ, we are so, like I said before, passive. We're so caught up. And you know, we have to be intentional when we seek God. We have to be intentional when we lay before him, because when we lay before him and he imparts more and more of his spirit in us, the power to call those things that be not as though they are, the power to lay hands on that, the power to speak the word,
yeah,
into that,
right,
person's,
right,
life.
That's good.
Because that's what the word is. The word is alive.
That's alive.
He's good.
It's alive in it, and not it. He's alive. The word, he is alive. And he will shake up and turn what's upside down right side up. And I like this message.
And you know,
yes, sir.
Amen.
I do too.
I'm sorry. Amen. When you were talking, and you said that the body has become passive, and I just went right back to that particular scripture, the verse 55, when he tells, after she rose, and he tells the parents to give her something to eat or give her meat, and the parents represent the pastors and the teachers, and like you said, in the body of Christ, the pastors and the teachers have shouldered the load, but you're right. Where are the John the Baptist that points the generation, points the church to the,
yes,
position of,
yes,
repentance,
yes,
the evangelist that has the unique calling to begin to govern and move, maneuver? And where is the prophetic voice that can give you greater in-depth, prophetic in-depth, more so than you're going to get $100 come Tuesday, but that can,
yeah,
point you in the,
yeah,
direction of moving, changing the dynamics of how we even view things. And so, yeah,
yes,
I believe that that's,
amen,
what we have to do. And then when we see that I'm able to examine myself also and say there's a lot,
yeah,
more that I have,
oh,
to,
yes,
do, or there's a lot more that can be done. But,
mm-hmm,
I believe that the body together, when we think together and function as a unit, cohesive unit,
mm-hmm,
the,
mm-hmm,
enemy, the gates of hell cannot prevail. No weapon,
exactly,
formed shall prosper. Doesn't mean that it won't form,
yes,
but it cannot,
amen,
prosper.
Amen.
Lots of times, the,
amen,
enemy has infiltrated the church, and we have adopted the language of the enemy. If God,
mm-hmm,
can, will he can? I hope he can, more so than we know that he can. And I believe that,
yes,
that's how God,
yes,
can move for us.
That's how he wants us to talk. We know what we know.
Yeah.
He wrote his...
definitely wants us to move as a unit. And just like you're,
mm-hmm,
saying, you know, when we come together, oh, God, when we come together, what we can do. But, you know,
right,
so many times we're so hungry for our, mm-hmm, own agenda and forget about why God brought us here on this planet. He sent us here. You know, if we're alive and we're living and we're moving and we have our being, I mean, we're here for a purpose. And the purpose at the end of the day is how many people you're going to go and speak that word of life to that woman with the issue of blood. Speak that word of life to Jairus. To speak that life back into that 12-year-old girl. There's healing.
Right.
Deliverance.
Right.
You know, we this is a good word, sir. You just keep on.
Amen.
Oh, he blessed me. He blessed,
come
my
on,
soul.
And I hope I'm not going off into a tangent, but come on, sir. Give it to us.
Amen. We thank. Amen. I thank God for the opportunity. I, you know, lots of times with me, you don't really get involved until you actually see that struggle, and then you begin to try to figure out how to deal with it. And, Just a couple of days ago, my son had an issue, and he was dealing with an issue, just a jammed finger, nothing major, but he was asking for help. And he started yelling, "Lord Jesus, help me, Lord Jesus." But we instilled him. It's the first time I really actually heard him cry out. And so as he was going through the pain, I was like, "Boy," I said, "you know who to call on when you have a struggle, don't you?" And that is a testimony to let us see that, you know, keeping them around the place. When the girl came to life, she needed nourishment. So she's going to need a body of believers that's not going to be so caught up on what happened to them or what they can do, but how we're going to be able to feed this next generation. I had a story that my dad gave me a couple of years ago, if I could share it. It was just a little brief little story, something that just helped me kind of see things in a different perspective. He told me that there were two groups of people that was dropped off on an island in a tent, and they had a food in the tent for the people, the groups of 10. And the individuals had gave them long spoons. And they left. And 30 days later, the guy comes back and he looks to the one tent, and the one group was all malnourished and had died off. And the tent on the other side, they were laughing and talking and having a good time. And so the guy asked him, he said, "What happened?" He said, "I gave you both the same amount of food and I gave you both the same utensils. What happened?" This group over here said, "You gave us 10-foot spoons. It was hard for me to feed myself." The group on the other side said, "We realized we had 10-foot spoons, so what we did was we started feeding each other."
Oh.
The Bible says that in Ephesians chapter 4, that all of this is for the edifying of the body. So God gives us the gift, and it's not necessarily just for us, but it's to edify someone else. But we're so caught up in "this is mine" instead of releasing it. And I believe that when we do, another generation sees the power of God, the move of God, and when they have a struggle, they'll know who to call on in their time of need.
Yeah. Amen. I like that. Oh, amen. I like that. And for your son to say, "Oh, Jesus, help me." You know what? He's been looking at Dad.
Yeah.
Right, I hope so.
You know what? Well, you hope so. He just proved it.
Right.
What you're around all the time is how you're going to become. You know that birds of a feather flock together? That is so true. That is so true. So who you're around mostly is who you're going to emulate. So we thank God for your son knowing who to call on. We thank God for that story that your dad had. Oh my God.
Right.
That's good. We're supposed to feed one another.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you know, the next generation, you know,
we don't know what stands before us. I remember when I went to an outreach on Main Street. It was an alcoholic outreach. And one man came in, and he was so drunk, we had them sit and take we had the word first before we gave them coffee and the biscuits. And do you know he got prayed for? And that night he went out and got hit by a car. It was his last night. We don't never know when it's going to be our last night. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So what we hear today, we take it for granted that we're going to be around next week, next month. We got to do what we got to do today.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right.
It's that important.
You know, I also think of the 12. You know, representative of the number of speaks to the number of order and government and alignment. And so here is order and government that was just totally out of alignment with the woman with the issue of blood and the 12-year-old who was unable to bear fruit. But once everything got in alignment, not going to the next chapter, but in the very next chapter, the first verse of the next chapter, chapter 9, he brings them all together and his disciples together and gives them authority. And see, once we get in alignment, the government rules in order, then we can now overcome all the obstacles because we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us.
That's good. That's good, amen. That's good. Yes. That's good. Don't stop now, Bishop. This is good. You got
it. I'm just turning it over. I'm turning it over. Just...
Don't stop. That's right.
I want to go with another twist on here. A comment that you made in terms of being intentional. I have a passion for this next generation. And I like the idea of you talking about the next generation is coming to the church and they're looking at the body playing church rather than spirit within the church. They're seeing the body playing church. So if the body is just playing around and not intentional, not serious. And so I like the idea of you saying, you know, that that we have to be intentional because
everyone
is saying that this next generation is dead. But the Bible speaks of that. They're not dead. They're just asleep.
Right.
And it's a matter of the church waking that generation up by the Spirit of God. And if we don't, and if the church does not allow the next generation to be able to know that they are serious and not playing around, then we're going to have a lost generation. That's what I believe in that. I believe that they've sold out. But let me tell you something: they're going to social media. They're not coming to the church building. But they're going to social media. They would prefer to look at preachers online. And from on my end, what the youth are saying is they are religious, but not spiritual.
Right.
Religious.
Right.
That's
true. And you know
what? But not spiritual.
And you know it's kind of when you said that, Pastor. After she had died, when Jesus deals with the woman with the issue, and he's now turns around and makes the move to go to his house, the people from his house come out, or church folk come out and say, "Oh, don't even trouble the master now." That there's a lot of people in the church that believe to a point. We're believing until we no longer believe that it's, you know, like we put God on a time limit, so to speak. I'm going to believe God for this, but if it doesn't happen this time, then maybe that's not God's will for me. And so they, if they would have believed that God can do all things, they would have never ran out and said, "Don't trouble the master anymore," but they would have said, "Hurry up." And so when Jesus gets there, he tells them to give her meat, which means that the Bible tells us, that Paul tells us, that as newborn babes desire the sincere milk, but then Jesus tells her to have meat. He says this generation needs to have an accelerated work, but it cannot have an accelerated work until, like you said, the church becomes intentional and then we deal with our issues. And too many times we're bringing our issues to the altar, and then when nobody's looking, we're taking it right back.
Wow,
or we're not
man.
Believing that God
yeah.
can deal with it. And I think that God is needing to, and so he's moving in a way that changes the dynamics. And so we press toward the mark. But the problem with us is a lot of us have put the mark so low that God is like saying, I want to call you higher.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir. This is some good stuff. Mics are open.
It really is.
The mics are open. Any comments? Bishop, what's going on, you know, being that you're talking about the generation there, and I'm sure it's no different than anywhere else. What are you dealing with? One of the things I want to mention is I have heard that you have one of the fastest growing churches there. I did hear that. Okay, that came to me. What are you doing there to pull the youth into church? With everything that you have going
on, Sunday after Sunday things change. You have your core group, so to speak. But I try to be, and I believe God has allowed me to be in the world long enough and deal with issues in the world that when he touched me and changed me, that we become transparent. Because the church, you never go to the bank with monopoly money, so you can't bring youth into the church and be counterfeit. They'll see it before we even recognize it. So I believe that we have to be authentic, but we also have to be transparent. We're real. We have issues. We have struggles.
Amen.
We have things in the church. We've been saved for 20 years, but we still deal with a devil that you're dealing with. He's hitting you, tailor-made, in your issue, and he's hitting me, tailor-made, in my issue. But together with Christ, all things are possible. And so when we let a person see that we don't look at them through the eyes of judgment, but we look at them through the eyes of compassion, that lets them break down the barriers of the walls of why did I come to church? And then I tell people a lot of times that when you're in church and you want to bring somebody to church, don't leave from church and talk about the negativity of the pastor of the church. You brought the pastor or the church people to your home from a negative perspective. Now they don't want to come because they hear sister such and such is being this way and that way. Why would they want to come? And why would they want to deal with us? So we want to make sure that we try to make sure that we receive people just as they are. Christ said, come as you are. And so I believe here, come as you are. You don't have to be cleaned up. Nobody goes to the hospital when they're well. They go when they're sick. Nobody comes to the church when they're well. They come with an issue, and God heals you. And I think that when we do that, that we can actually break down the barriers of the individuals and then actually deal with the individual itself.
That's good.
Amen. Let me
ask you a question. Do you have, what about millennials and young families that come in? Because, with you, you're talking about folks that are like 14 to 20, 21, 20, maybe. But what about millennials, these young parents or the young adults?
Well, we're small and different through our corporation. I'm part of the corporation, and some of the other churches that I'm involved with, they do have that generation, that group of people, and that is their struggle also, dealing with the real issues. For example, a person loses their job, they lose their way of income, they lose their mindset, their worth, their ability to provide. And so it becomes to be a downhill spiral. And those individuals come, and then you have separations of homes and families and those type things. And so in the other churches that I'm involved with, what we do or what we like to do is we like to just give them Christ, give them God. Let God deal with them. Let God heal them. The Bible says some waters and some planet, but God gives the increase. And so we want to make sure that we're not overstepping our bounds, but we're not destroying a person when they're down. And so we adjust to, or we try to, as God did, does, adjust to all of our needs. He dealt with the woman with the issue of blood. He dealt with the Samaritan woman. He dealt with the woman that caught in adultery. And he deals with us on a daily basis. So I think that if we had that level of compassion, all things are possible.
Amen.
Amen.
And Pastor, I think I don't know if they know. You're a young preacher yourself. I don't think that they know.
Right.
You're in the millennial generation. Is that correct?
Right. Well, I'm 40. Actually 48 now. I've been pastoring this church for 16 years.
Wow. Praise God.
And
15 years.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 The mics are open. Amen.
Oh.
Any more comments? The healing of a generation.
Right, and I believe again. Right. Any comments? I believe that, like I said, not to cut you off, Pastor. I apologize. The healing of a generation, and it begins with us. It begins with us. We have to really get involved in, and no longer just spiritual calisthenics and church programs. The enemy doesn't mind, the lip service or the lip labor. That doesn't bother him. But when we start bearing fruit, when we get involved in the dynamics of what's going on in our communities, I believe that the church is planted in a specific location to be the heartbeat of that community. And if the heart is flatlined, of course the body is going to be dead. And so we have to make sure that we are staying in tune with Christ, and then people can come and be nurtured by him.
Amen. Amen. And I do believe that the church has to be the heartbeat of community. I believe that, and I believe that people, the community is crying out. is crying out. You made a comment in terms of being authentic, and I think that that's really the key. People just want to know that you're serious about what you do, being authentic, and they can spot a fake in a minute. I truly believe
it. Amen.
Yeah. I think we've got, when you say authentic, I think, I think that, you know, I had a gentleman tell me when I made that statement before, to be authentic. I think being authentic, lots of times we think that that is being different, but almost like the other church or almost like someone else. But just be the part of the fivefold ministry, part of the body that God wants you to be. He says, the hand doesn't say to the foot, I don't need you. I mean, and you know, so we all have a specific part to play. And I think we're so caught up in trying to emulate someone else more so than be ourselves. And when we be ourselves, that's who God created us. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, and so God creates us to be ourselves. And I mean, the Bible tells us that before he formed us, he knew us. He sanctified us, set us apart in the womb before we even knew who we were. So this thing doesn't just begin with us. We have a part to play, but it started way before we was even a thought in our parents' mind. And so it started with Christ. And so if it starts with God, we have to make sure that he continues the process. And so that's why I ask your prayers to continue to pray for me and our family, and we'll do the same for you, of course.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
That is the sign that we feel on this, and also, Bishop, and Elder Clay, that you all will just... continue to pray for us in the process that we're dealing with at this moment. So I want to say that I do appreciate every prayer that has been sent up for me and my family. I do appreciate that. So just continue to pray that God will. That God will continue to use us in whatever vast of ministry that he has set for us. I appreciate it.
Pastor, you want to identify where your location?
Yes, this is Pastor Robinson from South Pittsburgh, Tennessee.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
It is so good to hear you, Pastor.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
I've been asking about you. And I want to tell you something that I was sharing with Elder John when I asked about you. And I want you to know that God wastes nothing in our lives. You know, our ups and downs, our whatever we're going through, the struggles, the strain, the stress. But he wastes nothing. He told me that in prayer a long while ago. He said, Edna, I waste nothing of your life. You know, and I'm here to tell you today, God wastes nothing. And through the process, a prophet told me, because I'm going through a little something, and what she said was, through the process, there's a blessing, and there are blessings in the process. So don't be confused. Don't fear anything. God will bring you through the process.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. There's a blessing in the process. Not
Amen.
Only experience and life, but God don't waste anything. I'm tying that in with what she told me and what God has shared with me. He wastes nothing of our lives.
Amen. Thank you so much.
It might not be easy, but at the end of the day, it was necessary.
Amen. Amen.
And that's hard. That's hard to say, wow, I'm going through this. This is necessary. But yes, because God will turn it around for your good, and he is turning it around for your good and for all his glory. You are
Amen.
Here. You are here.
Amen.
And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, Pastor Robinson, that he wants to overtake you with blessings. That's Deuteronomy 28:2. He wants to bless you in the city, bless you in the field, bless you coming in, bless you going out. He wants to your blessings to overtake you. I don't know if you've ever had anything overtake you, but it could overtake me any day.
It's back to you, Bishop.
Yes.
I
was going to say, Pastor Robinson has been ill. He's been one of our speakers. He's been ill, so that you just to bring you up to date to what's happening. He has been ill, you know, and that's what everyone is referring to.
Hallelujah.
I just want to let you know and you know offer, you know, at the closing you can offer a prayer for him.
Okay.
Being that we're talking about a healing.
Okay.
Excuse us, Bishop. But your word was great.
Yes, and Bishop, I want
Amen.
To say
we
to
praise
you,
God.
I did have enjoyed your message tonight. I didn't really look at putting those two together as you did. You know, the issue with the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years and the 12-year-old daughter. I never looked at that way, but I appreciate the lesson tonight that,
uh-huh.
that you are bringing.
Uh-huh.
Praise God. Yes. 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 Thank God for that. Amen.
Thank God. I hope I hear you again, Bishop.
Hey, amen. I'll be honored to be here. I enjoyed it today.
I
thank you for the invitation.
Sound like you studied a little bit there, Bishop. Sound like you studied a little bit.
Well, that's not really my I did because that's really not my choice. But if he so chooses to, I would definitely be. It's an honor. I definitely would be there. But I thank you for this opportunity. Really, this is the first time actually being on the radio. I've been blessed to do many things, but this is the first for me. So God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for the
Amen.
Warm hospitality and the opportunity.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Do you want me to pray now?
Would you like to close us out in prayer, please?
No, I'll just go. If you had, okay, I'll do that. Oh, are you ready now? We pray now.
Yes.
Amen. Let us bow. Father, we thank you right now in Jesus' name for your great grace and mercy, for your hand of provision, protection, and the way you're guiding. And we thank you right now for, as the word is saying, for Pastor Robinson, we pray for healing.
Yes,
we thank you for the process, as was said. We thank you that all things are possible. We believe that the physical body lines up with the spirit right now, that you move and bring forth a healing and transformation. And not only for him, but for all of us who are here and gathered, and the people that are connected to
That's
us,
right.
we bless
That's
them
right.
in a mighty
yes.
way, guide us and direct us. You know what we have needs of. You know before we even yes. ask. So we thank you ahead of time that you
thank
are already
you.
Working things out. Thank you for this ministry. We ask that you enlarge it and increase it.
Amen.
Open up the
Thank
windows
you.
Of heaven and pour out a blessing upon right now the man of God, the host, and everyone involved. And Father,
yes.
as we depart
yes.
from this place, but never from your presence, keep us, guide us, and direct us. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
We love you. God bless you. We thank you so much, Bishop.
Can look beyond the sky. I face the dawn.